The title of my message today is Finding Purpose in Ministry. And one of the things I really want to share with you today is a little bit about myself, but how literature evangelism played a role in my walk with Christ, but also how literature evangelism has made an impact on those who still haven't yet fully heard the gospel. And so today I have a lot of stories and testimonies for you guys to hear. And these stories that you will hear today is a representation of how God wants to use you in your life to reach people. And so again, today I'm going to share a couple of stories for you guys. But before that, I just want to kind of introduce myself. My name is Sebastian. I was born in Peru. I was not born into an Adventist family, or I was not even raised in a Christian background or religious background. For the most part, I lived an ordinary life. I was raised by a single mother. At one point, we left Peru to come to the United States to seek for a better life. And if you ever experience something like that transition, it is really tough, really tough. I was raised by a single mom. She often worked two, sometimes three jobs to make sure that we had food on our table, to make sure that we could pay the rent. And so for a good portion of my life, I felt a little bit incomplete. One, I was raised by a single mom. One, I was in a new country, and I felt like I didn't have much. And so because I felt a sense of incomplete, I tried to figure out how to fill in that void. Have you guys ever felt incomplete in your life before? I know I have. And so I attempted to figure out how I can fill that void in my life. And so naturally I gravitated to sports, and I used a lot of my time to just play sports. As I got older, I tried to fill in that void through the nightlife. And you know what the nightlife offers. There's alcohol, substance, relationships. And the small, long story short, I never was able to really fill in that void. Until one day, I walked into an Adventist church, and there was recruiters for Youth Rush. By chance, I just happened to walk into that church because I had a friend that went into that church. And I went. It was for AY, or Adventist Youth, the afternoon program for young people. And as soon as I walked in, I see my friend pointing at me. And I was wondering why he was pointing at me. And as soon as he's pointing at me, I see three other young people approach me and tell me about this program called Youth Rush, that it's a 10-week literature evangelism program where, one, you can share the gospel, right? I wasn't too interested in that because I didn't really know the gospel for myself. What really caught my attention was that you can make some money. I was a university student, and I thought, hey, it was, and more specifically, I was a business university student at the University of Utah. Very good business program. And I thought to myself, hey, you know, if I could sell something that has to do with the Bible, I can sell anything. I can be a successful businessman if I can sell Christian literature to anyone. And so that's one of the motives that I've joined this program, to kind of advance my skills in business, learn about sales. But through that experience, God would use that for his purpose. And it isn't during that time of service where I begin to knock on the doors, right? It was someone who didn't know much about the gospel. I have heard of it. I heard the name Jesus before, but I was sharing these books, and I was explaining to strangers what these books were about, that I realized that there was a God. There was a God, and the way he used me to help others, that was so real that I wanted to know God more. And the experiences I had in the canvassing work, I knew for sure that God loved his people. And so I want to share a quick Bible verse with you. I never thought that I'd be in this setting, in a suit, at a pulpit, sharing the word of God, sharing testimonies. At one point, I thought, as I reflected on my life, I really thought there was no way that God could save me. But I want to share this Bible verse with you guys, found in Isaiah 59, verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither ear heavy, that it cannot hear," right? And I'm a testimony of this Bible verse, right? I was in the world, but now I am here in the temple of the Lord, right? And so I want to share with you how not only literature made an impact on my life, but historically how it's made an impact in the Adventist church. So we see here a quote. It's a little small, so I'll make sure to read it. Literature evangelism has been part of the Adventist church since its upbringing, but even prior to that, it has been a part in sharing the Adventist message. In fact, in Dorchester, Massachusetts in 1848, a very long time ago, probably more than 170 years, there was a vision given to Ellen G. White. And this is the vision that she had. It says, "After coming out of vision, I said to my husband, I have a message for you. You must begin to print a little paper and send it out to the people. Let it be small at first, but as people read, they will send you means with which to print, and it will be success from the first. From this small beginning, it was shown to me to be like streams of light that went clear around the world." And this is a vision that Ellen G. White has, and then she communicates that to her husband. Notice the time. It's 1848, before the establishment of the Adventist faith, right, of the Adventist church. What does this tell us? Literature played a large role in sharing the light, in sharing the gospel, in disseminating the light, even prior to the establishment of our church. Since the beginning of the Adventist publishing work in 1849, billions of copies of our books and magazines have been distributed. Here's one example of one of the first copies of literature by James White. It's titled Present Truth. He made four numbers. Each of them contained eight pages. This one was on the Sabbath. And this is the copy that he sent out to people. He himself wrote it. He printed it out. He made sure that he folded it and put an address, and he sent it to people he thought would read it. And those individuals returned the message or the mail, and it returns also, they returned with that mail means in which to continue on the work. Since then, the work has continued to grow. Here we see a couple of pictures of canvassers who participated in a program called Youth Rush, which is our literature evangelism program. On the far top left, you'll see a canvasser knock on the door, and to the right of that, the picture of the four girls, they're literature evangelists who were in Reno area. And that's a picture of them on the field. On the bottom, that big group, you'll see myself, and I have a friend here. He's also with me. This was a group that was evangelizing through literature in Salt Lake City area and Vegas. And at the end of the program, if you see the picture on the right, these two gentlemen who were born in the Adventist faith, who were participants of this program, at the end of the 10 weeks, decided to get baptized. I myself was able to be a part of that. It was a big blessing to see that through the experience of the work, right? As we plant seeds, a seed is planted in our hearts, and we see the result of that. This picture here, we see a big group of about 8-ish people. The gentleman on the second to the farthest right, his door was knocked on by a literature evangelist. A literature evangelist began to knock on his door and spoke to him about the material she had. He wasn't interested in church at all. He said he was done with church, but he did believe in God. She offered him Bible studies. Eventually, someone from that area, a Bible worker, began to give him Bible studies. And about probably 4 to 5 months passed by, and decided to get baptized. So you see here the impact that literature evangelism has. People do make decisions for Christ. And this is how the work of publishing has progressed over time. And here's a story from a friend that I want you guys to listen to.
Powerful testimony that stood out to me from El Paso, Texas, was on the last day of the Blitz. Blitzes are what we call when we go to a city and we canvass there for about 3 weeks, and it was the last day. So I was really, really tired, and we had actually run out of Peace Above the Storm, which is Our Steps to Christ. I loved that book, and it was my favorite book to sell, and I felt empty without that book. So what ended up happening is the entire day, I was offering Steps to Christ to people, but I forgot that we were completely out. We were sold out. So it was towards the end of the day. I was on the last street of my drop. And what ended up happening is I wanted to run because we caught the supervisor actually told us, hey guys, stand by, get ready for pickup. We're going to go home. So I was like, no, I have to get one more door. So what ended up happening is I was running, trying to get to that last door. And lo and behold, I was running so fast that I actually collided with the door in a form that I knocked so strong, startling the person inside. So as soon as the lady came out, she was kind of scared, kind of hesitant. And she was like, hey, it's late. You shouldn't really be knocking on doors this late. And what ended up happening is the Holy Spirit must have taken over because I just reached in my bag. And lo and behold, I gave her a Steps to Christ. Now, we were completely out of that book, but what happened was that lady, in our Steps to Christ, we have a lighthouse. And the lady actually told me, I had a dream about this lighthouse last night. This is an answer to prayer because this is the exact lighthouse that I saw in my dream. With tears in her eyes, she actually donated to get the Steps to Christ. How did the Steps to Christ get there, you may ask? Only the Lord may know. Thank you so much.
All right, so I know the volume was a little low, so I'm just going to kind of summarize the testimony. Here we see a young gentleman canvassing, and it was a very fruitful day of canvassing. They were getting a lot of Steps of Christ out in the community, and so they ran out of Steps of Christ, right? No one had a Steps of Christ, and it was towards the end of the canvassing day where they were going to get ready to get picked up and go back to the church and get ready to rest and call it a night. And as a supervisor is on the radio, telling the canvassers to stand by, get ready for pickup because we're going home. He feels an urgency. He feels a responsibility just to do one more door. And as he's maneuvering fast to that door, he steps on a step and he trips. And the books in his bag, they come out of his bag and one hits the door. And it startles the person inside and the person comes out and picks up a book, and it's Steps to Christ, but on the covers of that Steps to Christ is a lighthouse. And it's the very lighthouse she had a dream about the day before. And so you see a young person here who has urgency, who has a sense of responsibility to share the gospel. He didn't have to go to that last house. He could have been content that the day was going to end. And I'll tell you this. That's probably one of the best when you're canvassing and you know you're having a tough day. You're hoping that your supervisor says, stand by, we're ready for pickup. But he had a sense of urgency, went to a house, and a woman had a dream about that same book. And you can see how God is using literature, right? How God is speaking to people individually to reach them. Here's another testimony.
My name is Kristen, and I'm going to be sharing a testimony of when I was going door to door. I met this girl. She was anywhere from 16 to 18 years old. And as I began canvassing her and showing her our spiritual books, she was like, whoa, are these religious? Are you Christian? And I was like, yes, I'm a Christian, and these books are Christian as well. And she was like, I'm not interested, I'm atheist. And she immediately begins handing me back the books, and she's about to go and close the door, and I say, wait, you're so young. If you don't mind me asking, what makes you an atheist? And she just stops, and she was like, when you've seen the things that I've seen and when you've been through the things that I've been through, you wouldn't believe in God either. And then she shuts the door. The thing was, before she shut the door, I noticed that she had a bunch of self-harm cuts on both arms and also both of her legs. Some of them were actually fresh, and a lot of them were actually crisscrossed because she had cut on top of cuts. And so to see that, I was like, Lord, I know that girl has been through so much and she doesn't know how to cope with it. And at one point in my life, I was going through a tough time too, and I didn't know how to cope, and I self-harmed as well. And I was like, the Lord really put a burden on my heart for this girl. And then in my head, I was like, Lord, like, I want to help her. Like, I know you're impressing me to help her, but she already shut the door. What am I supposed to do? And I kept walking, and I was really thinking hard, and I was kind of sad. And my supervisor drives by, and she's like, hey, what's up? How are you doing? And I told her about the girl at the door, and I said, I want to help her, but she shut the door on me, and the Lord is really impressing this on my heart. How do I help her? And she's like, oh, just write her a note. And I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. So I pulled out our little mini Steps to Christ book, and I wrote in the back, and I said, hi, my name is Kristen. I noticed the deep cuts on your arms and your legs. I don't know what you've been through in life. I don't know what you've seen, but I want to let you know I used to self-harm as well when I was going through a tough time in life. And I just want to let you know that there's a God up there that cares about you, and I care about you as well. And I told her, hey, I'm even here for you just if you need a friend to talk to. And I left my name and my number, and I went back to the door, and I knocked, and I was like, here, this is for you. And she looked so, like, she was so confused. And I was like, okay, have a good day. And I kind of ran away. Well, 2 days later, I got a text, and it said, hi, my name is blank. And she said, I'm the girl that you met at the door with the cuts on her arms and legs. And I just wanted to let you know it meant everything that you reached out to me. And so I knew that that particular divine appointment was for me to meet that girl, because I shared somewhat of a similar experience, even though I didn't know exactly what she was going through. And to this day, I always remember that, because sometimes her and I still text back and forth. I try to be encouraging. I wish her well on holidays. But that's one of my favorite testimonies to share.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes God uses you because you're the only person can... Obviously, here we see a story of a young girl, Kristen, who experienced trials in her life of self-harm. And she got the opportunity to meet another young person who also is going through that same trial in her life. But God was able to use her to bring comfort to that girl who was doing self-harm. She could have just left and not gone back and knocking that door and gave her that book, but she felt also a sense of urgency to share the gospel, because going through self-harm, she was able to find a solution in Christ, and she wanted to share that so desperately that she went back, delivered a book. And you guys heard that girl responded by sending her a text message back, thank you for doing this, it means so much to me. And so sometimes God can use what you've been going through, right, to reach other people, to comfort them, to share with them that, hey, I know what you're going through, but I also know someone that helped me through it, and that's God. Publishing ministry is a God-ordained work. And one of the reasons why the publishing ministry exists is for the youth. It says in publishing ministry, when school closes, there is an opportunity for many to go out into the field as evangelistic canvassers. Many young ministers, if truly converted, would do much good by entering the canvassing field. They would there obtain an experience in faith. Their knowledge of the scriptures would greatly increase because they imparted to others the light given them. They would receive more to impart. Let them enter the canvassing field and see what they can do in the way of producing, by meeting people and presenting to them our publications. They will gain an experience which they could not obtain by simply preaching. As they go from house to house, they can converse with those whom they meet, carrying with them the fragrance of Christ's life. So here we see that there's benefits for youth being involved in the publishing ministry. It gives them an experience of faith. They develop an increased knowledge of the scriptures. And they also gain an experience which they could not otherwise gain, it says here, by simply preaching. And if you go to the next slide, here's two text messages from former canvassers ages 15 to 16 after they experienced canvassing. They texted me these text messages. So on the left, we see a 15-year-old canvasser from Las Vegas. He did one summer of Youth Rush. He says, "Personally, when I was doing Youth Rush, I didn't think it would affect my life. Man, I was wrong. Youth Rush changed my working pace. Youth Rush changed my mindset, and my ways of physical working got easier. This program is a good way to start off in the real world because you can meet the most unique type of people that you would think only exist in the movies or shows. My social skills has also progressed. I can physically look at a person face to face and be able to talk. All these traits are what they taught, but most importantly is that my spiritual life has also expanded. And I'm seeing the church and the Bible differently." Amen. A 15-year-old wrote that to me in a text message. Not only did his social skills advance, not only is he able to learn how to have a good work ethic, but his spiritual life changed. When he comes to church and when he studies the Bible, he sees it differently. And on the right, we had a Hispanic canvasser, so maybe I'll translate for everyone. She says that it was Wednesday, and it was a day during canvassing. And we went out to the field to win souls. I went out to the field with my partner, but as I was walking to the first door, I prayed to God to send me a sign that he was with me. I knocked on the door, and a lady opened up. She was kind and sweet. And as I offered her these books, I looked inside the house because she opened it, and I saw a portrait of a Bible verse. It said 1 John 4:19. When I saw that portrait, I felt a sense of relief knowing that God was with me as I did this work. Today was a fun day. And at that moment, I remember her saying that she didn't want to go out into the field. She didn't want to go out to canvas, but she had a fun day, and if she didn't go out, she wouldn't have that realization that as she's doing this work, that God was with her. And so it's impactful to hear a young person realizing that God is with them as they're doing that work. It's too often that we put God at a distance, that he's far away, but here she realized that as she's knocking on doors, that God was with her. Here's a couple of quotes from Cole Porter Ministry. It says, "The Lord has instituted a plan whereby many of the students in our schools can learn practical lessons needful to success in afterlife. In the very handing of these books, the youth will meet with many experiences that will teach them how to cope with problems that await them in the regions beyond. During the school life, as they handle these books, many learn how to approach people courteously and how to exercise tact in conversing with them on different points of present truth. As they meet with a degree of success financially, some will learn lessons of thrift and economy, which will be a great advantage to them when they are sent out as missionaries." So not only do they learn how to practically share the word of God, they learn skills that will help them in life. They learn how to cope with the difficulties of life. They learn how to be financially good stewards of their money. They learn how to approach people courteously with tact and present the gospel and the present truth. Here's a story, testimony of a young person.
Utah, and this day was a particularly hard day. I was really struggling, and so I decided to pray and ask God to really show me why I was doing what I was doing. And I came across this older man who, when I first knocked on his door, he said, "I have no money, I'm not interested." In that moment, I decided to just take some time to really just get to know him. And as I talked more to him, he ended up sharing that his wife actually had dementia and that she currently had to leave the institution that she was at. He had to quit his job to take care of her, and he was really struggling. It was hard for him to see someone who he loved not even recognize him. I decided to share some words of encouragement, and I offered to pray with him. As I was praying, he began to cry, and he said, "Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for encouraging me and sharing Christ's love to me." I was able to leave him with the desire of ages and steps to Christ, and I was able to see how God was able to use me and answer my prayers through canvassing.
If you didn't hear the story, I'm going to summarize it again. This young lady was canvassing in southern Utah in a city called St. George, and she was having a hard day canvassing, but prayed to God to show her why it is that he called her to this work. And she met a gentleman at the door who was not interested in any of the materials she had, and he said, "I don't have any money." And through that experience, she said, "Well, you know, sometimes as a canvasser, we just don't go there to present books, but sometimes people just need someone to conversate to." And she was able to pick up on that and just started to connect with the gentleman. The gentleman then went out to tell her that he was having a hard time because his wife had dementia. And he then voiced out, "It's hard to see someone who loves me not it's hard to see someone who he loves not recognize him." And she offered words of encouragement and prayer, and as they prayed together and ended the prayer, he was in tears. He said, "Thank you for coming and sharing Christ's love to me." And he was able to take Desire of Ages and Steps of Christ with him. Here's another testimony of a young person.
Again, and I just wanted to share another quick testimony of when I was canvassing in the Southern California area. It was my first year of canvassing, and I wasn't used to the grind, for lack of a better word. I was very tired, very fatigued, and again, it was nearing the end of the day. We were canvassing apartments on that particular day, and what ended up happening is I was walking up the steps, I didn't see a step, and I completely tripped. I tripped, and everything scattered all over the ground. It was a mess. I was a mess. And I was very embarrassed. And one of the books, lo and behold, hit a door because there was a door on the left and on the right. So one of the books actually hit the door and a lady came out. And the lady actually picked up one of the books and she asked me if I was Christian. We got to talking, got to know each other a little bit better. It turns out that she was dealing with very severe depression. And what ended up happening is she was actually on the verge of committing suicide that very moment. And because of the noise that I made, she wanted to go see, and she wanted to just see what was going on outside. So because of my showing up at that moment, she actually chose to live another day. She ended up getting a 3-book set of The Great Controversy, Christ Object Lessons, and Steps to Christ. She thanked me for coming, and I really hope that she's doing okay today.
Amen. Wow. Did you guys hear that testimony? Again, the same kid. He seems to be tripping a lot and dropping his bag often, but for the good reasons. This time he met a lady who he startled, came out the door, saw the book Steps of Christ, broke out in tears because at that moment she was going to get ready to end her life. If you hadn't gone out there in faith, this testimony, this lady might not have even been alive that day. But because he was willing to go out and share the gospel and literature, this lady had another chance at life. Amen. Youth Rush has been or literature evangelism in general has been a way that helps us find purpose. Here it says ministry, but for being a Christian. And the Bible verse here in Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And if we go to the next verse, in Matthew 4:19, it says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." If you can go back to the past slide here, I think a lot of reasons why youth are leaving the church is because they don't have a sense of purpose for being a Christian. And here we see that in these Bible verses that God gives us a purpose, right? We're created to be his workmanship, right? To do good works, right? When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't just say, follow me, but he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He instilled a purpose for them. It's interesting to see if you go to the, if you can retract it, there we go. There's a professor of education in Stanford University named William Damon. He's a director of at Stanford's Center of Adolescence. And he's one of the world's leading researchers on the development of purpose. And he conducted a study with young people ages 12 to 22. And for 5 years, he interviewed them for 3 hours. And at the end of the study, these are his findings. He said, Stanford education professor William Damon says that research shows that while young people can sometimes struggle with a sense of purpose, they are likely to find it in concrete and action-oriented goals. He further says, findings suggest that for adolescent purpose exemplars, the processes of identity formation and purpose development reinforce one another. The development of purpose supports the development of identity, and the development of identity reinforces purposeful commitments. Furthermore, in the adolescent's purpose exemplars' lives, the purpose and the identity constructs largely overlap in such a way that what individuals hope to accomplish in their lives serves as the basis of the adults they hope to become. Long story, just to summarize that, he basically took a young people ages 12 and 22 because that's when it's a period of purpose and identity development during that time. And he studied them. He wanted to see the correlation between purpose and identity. And he found that those who had a sense of purpose in life, it also helped them to have a formation in their identity. And it's too often that young people are in the church who don't know their purpose. And so they try to find their purpose elsewhere. And their identity begins to be formed, but it begins to be formed in the world. Here we see that God has given us a purpose. And many of these canvassers who previously probably didn't really have a relationship with God, who've heard of God or had little knowledge of the scriptures, they were able to find their purpose in ministry. They were able to see their identity, that they were a son and daughter of God, that God loved them, that God cared for them. And so this is what canvassing can do. It helps young people see their purpose for being a Christian. And here's a video to show that.
A turning point in my life is when a literature evangelist met me in my hometown of Odessa, Texas. Hi, my name is Josias, and this is my testimony. So growing up, I was always familiar with going to church, God, things of that nature, but it never really made sense to me. I was always confused and I just didn't understand. But as I was getting older, especially as I went to college, I just did not want anything to do with religion, God, anything of that nature. But as I was becoming an adult, it became important to me. I wanted to know, like, what is God? What is my purpose? What do I do? I was just wondering, so I started studying. And at the same time I was studying, this young man with some books and materials on how to study the Bible and get to know God more met me. His name was Rob. And it just blew my mind because it helped answer so many questions that I was trying to figure out and study for myself at that time. And it just changed my life. When I met him, it was just such an impact because I saw other people, not only other people, but other young people like me knew these things and were going out and sharing them. And it really made me to think. And at the time, certain circumstances in my life led me to become homeless and live in a junkyard. But I started to figure things out because I was studying the Bible, because I got to know this God of love that I never knew before, this Jesus that I never heard before. And ever since that encounter with that young man, Rob, and his team, with all this literature that they had, it just changed my life. And now I'm here today, and it has been such a blessing. Thank you.
Again, to summarize this testimony, this was a young gentleman who grew up in a church, slowly left the church, and as he became an adult, he started seeking his purpose in life, and that brought him back to the Bible and the study of God's Word. And he was seeking his purpose, and one day a literature evangelism met him on the streets and presented to him literature from our church. And he was in awe to see that young people were sharing the God, and that he was presenting him books that could help him answer his questions in life. Fast forward 1 year later to the next video. This is what this young gentleman is doing now after meeting a literature evangelist.
When I was a literature evangelist in Arizona, I met this young man named Jansen. When I met Jansen, he actually just came back from a recent accident. And he had a horrible accident. And in this accident, he actually ended up being in a coma. And he totaled his car. He had to have surgery on his head. And worst of all, he actually lost his young daughter. It was a sad story. And when I was there, I knocked on his door and I got to pray for him. And he just busted down in tears and was just telling me all these things. And I know God used me to comfort him and to encourage him. And I just got to pray for this brother Jansen and actually got to leave him with the steps of Christ. And in the steps of Christ, I told him that there's still hope, that we can still cling on to something, and that something is Jesus. And he was just so grateful. He was just so thankful, with tears in his eyes. He was just thanking me. And I know God used me that day to encourage and to bless that brother.
So I know this gentleman, and after encountering a literature evangelist, he became a literature evangelist. He started to share the gospel. He gave his life to God. He became a literature evangelist. He became a Bible worker. And he's currently now going to train other young people to become literature evangelists. And he found his purpose for why he is a Christian. As we close, I just want to share a Bible passage. In Mark chapter 5, you can follow along or hear me. It's a story of a girl who was restored to life. But in that story, we see a woman healed. Now, this certain woman had a blood issue for 12 years. 12 years. And she suffered many things from that blood issue. As a result of that, she went to many physicians to seek help. But none could help. She even went into her reserves, into her bank account, and got all the money she could to try to find a solution. Her money couldn't help. The physicians couldn't help. Rather, her situation grew worse. But then she heard that Jesus was in town. And although a crowd was following Jesus, a throng, she could barely see him in the midst of that throng. And so she tried to maneuver around people. She tried to do what she could as a petite woman to try to get by and to just to touch the garment of Jesus. Because touching the garment, she thought to herself, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And she finally was able to, in that throng, in that crowd, touch his garment, and immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said, "Jesus, how could you say that if we're surrounded by a throng? Everyone is rubbing against each other. Our shoulders are touching other shoulders. How could you say who touched me?" It's interesting to see that the only time virtue left Jesus was when she touched him. Everyone else had been touching him as well, but it was only when her touch that Jesus knew that virtue went out of him. See, many of us can be that throng who are just around or near Jesus, but never really experienced that personal touch. This woman was in that place as well. She heard of Jesus, but it was only until she touched and experienced Jesus that she became whole. And this is what God wants to do through ministry. When you're involved in a Youth Rush program such as this, when you are serving God in whatever capacity, God wants you to experience him. He doesn't just want you to hear about him. And he wants to make you whole. So if you want to be this woman, not just to be around Jesus or hear of Jesus, but if you want to experience the personal touch of Jesus, my friends here are going to hand out some Youth Rush cards to young people today. And if you got, Matthew, you can pass it on this side, Michael on that side, if you guys can pass it out. Young people, these are Youth Rush interest cards. They're going to hand it out. So what I want you to do is sign your name and we'll send you information about this program. Maybe you were like the throng or the crowd who was just around Jesus, have heard of Jesus, but yet never really experienced that personal touch yet. This is an opportunity for you to know who God is firsthand, to find your purpose, to know what God called you to do as far as sharing the gospel. And so as my friends pass these around, at the end of this, we're going to collect them at the exit doors so you can find myself or my two friends here. But I want to say a word of prayer for your church. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we want to find our purpose for being a Christian. Lord, we want to be like this woman and experience you firsthand, to experience your touch, Lord. Many of us have our own personal blood issue. Many of us have dealt with this for years as this woman. Lord, maybe we've tried to do whatever we could to find a solution. We went to every doctor, but Lord, the situation grew worse. But it's evident here, Lord, in this story that God alone can heal us, that God alone can make us whole. And all we have to do is to experience you, Lord. Let us not be like the throng who was near Jesus, who heard of Jesus, but never really experienced the power and the virtue that Jesus wants to so desperately give us. So I pray today that we will take a leap of faith, Lord, to serve you. And as we plant seeds in the people we encountered, Lord, we pray that you water the seed in our hearts, that we will take our relationship with you a step further. And if there's any young person here who is still seeking their purpose as a Christian, who maybe wants to serve, Lord, but is a little fearful of stepping out of their comfort zone, Lord, I pray that you impress upon their hearts to take a leap of faith today, to sign up for this program, Lord, because I know that you have a plan for everyone here. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. pray. Father in heaven, it says in your word that we are your workmanship, created by Jesus Christ to do good works, Lord. In reality, Lord, you call us to service so you could do work in our hearts, Lord. And I just pray that, Lord, these testimonies may be uplifting, that they may be motivating, Lord, that we can be used despite our weaknesses. Lord, I pray that today we leave and we have a heart for service, Lord. And as we have a heart for service, that we will experience you firsthand like that woman, that we would be able to experience that touch, Lord, and be whole in you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.